Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Jordan Roybern, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now Jordan, instead of starting off with the precious metals as we usually do, I want to start off with copper, because copper, very interesting story here, where as much bullish calls as I have heard for copper over the last couple months, let alone over the last, let's say, year or so, copper has now dropped below $4. This is more of a psychological level than anything, because quite frankly, copper was trading about 420 and higher, but now copper has continued to fade and is now at this level where you need to look at one of the more recent lows that happened back in August at 396. Underneath there, there's still a bit of air. And the overall theme here being that copper has been under pressure, and copper really is a barometer for a lot of other things when it comes economically. Before we get into what it means in the big picture, economics and data-wise, what's your chart telling you about copper? And just recapping the trading over the last little over a year now, where copper mostly was range-bound, but now is breaking down.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't that specific to copper, this particular observation, Corey. But what's really interesting is, I mean, we know that gold and silver essentially peaked in the summer of 2020. Well, copper peaked a little bit after that, maybe 7-8 months after that, April 2021. And since then, I mean, it made a false new high earlier this year, I think in February. But that was a false new high. It wasn't sustained. And so now we see that copper is breaking down. And so my larger point is it basically peaked over a year ago, and it's technically breaking down. It lost, I'm looking at weekly support kind of around, 410, 415, that area. And then also if you look at ratio charts, I mean, people love the copper gold ratio. With respect to copper, that's broken down to a 16-month low. So that excites me as a gold bull and gold bug. But with respect to copper, Corey, it's breaking down. And, the other issue, when you're looking at markets and you're trying to anticipate where they go, I'm a chart guy, but the problem with a lot of chart guys is they only look at charts. They don't look at sentiment or, what's going economically, what's the cycle that we're in. And yes, that can be difficult to really predict or project, but it's pretty obvious when we're looking at how markets are performing now, we're looking at the data that's coming in, that if we're not in a recession, we're about to go into one. And that's absolutely not the environment you want to be long copper, even long commodities, excluding precious metals. So, and it's interesting that even in the last couple months, you've been hearing all these people talking about how great copper is. And yes, I've heard that long-term supply-demand issue. I'm not an expert on copper, but I mean, that sounds clear to me. I'm not disputing that. But the here and now, looking at where the macro is going, and then looking at copper breaking down below support, it's lost the 200-day moving average. It's lost the 20-month moving average or the 400-day. So I see more downside for copper. This is not where you want to be right now. In a recession and at the beginning of one, probably.
Yeah, fair enough. That interesting break where copper went above $5. Look at the run it was on, because 3-4 days before it went to $5, copper was sitting right around 450, ran straight up, and then pretty much corrected 3 to 4 days later. So very much, I see what you're saying in terms of a false breakout. Let's also talk energy too, because energy is also selling off, and energy has also been the other market or sector where a lot of people have been positive on, rightfully so. Energy just kept running higher. The stocks kept running higher. That's turned on its head really just at the tail end of last week, I believe. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. But now energy, oil is much lower. The oil stocks are much lower. What's your takeaway from this pullback or sell-off in energy?
My takeaway would be that you have a potential double top in oil when you're looking at the weekly candle chart. So last week was a pretty nasty week in the energy complex. Oil put in a very negative weekly candle. I think oil was down around 10% or so that week. Natural gas, same thing happened. Natural gas was down 21% last week. And so, I mean, oil has obviously been much stronger than copper. Energy stocks have been the place to be, but energy stocks in the last couple of weeks have corrected significantly and in a short amount of time. And I don't think that the XLE, for example, I don't think that's going to be able to make a new high in the near term. And so the other, talking about the macro and recession and all that, the other issue with energy is energy tends to be late cycle. So if copper essentially peaked over a year ago, notwithstanding that false breakout that you mentioned, energy's peak, it makes sense that it would peak a week ago or so, or in the last couple of weeks, with respect to being late cycle. So, you'd expect gold and silver to peak first, then the base metals, and then energy last. And so, with respect to the economic cycle and these commodities and their tendencies, it makes a lot of sense. So, in the larger picture, and also last week, we should also mention bond yields put in some really ugly weekly candles. So you also have, that confirms, or not confirms, but it adds evidence to the idea that maybe last week was an important inflection point, that we saw a peak in these inflation trades, and that, these markets are going to be weak going forward. And maybe that tells you that the message of the market, rather, is that we're more worried about a recession now than inflation. And so if we see some downside follow through in, commodities ex precious metals, so oil and copper especially, and bond yields also come down in the short term, that adds more credence to the idea that last week was a potential inflection point.
Yeah, we are seeing more money flow into bonds. And just looking at that 10-year, kind of had a spike high last week and then closed more or less at the low of the week. As you said, not a great candle. So let's get into the economic data consequences then. You said this is pointing more towards recession and also disinflation, I guess we can call. The disinflation aspect is exactly what the Fed wants, not the recession aspect. But those two arguably could go hand in hand. What's more important to note here as we progress through this year on that economic data front?
Well, I think, we know that markets are going to lead the data. So that's what's interesting is if you look historically, there's been times in the 60s, 70s, and 80s where the Fed cut rates even when inflation was at really high levels. I mean, they did it, I think, one time at 12%, another time at 6%, another time at 8%. So the Fed is also going to watch markets. So, I mean, if we see continued downside in bonds and in oil, and with respect to bonds, like if the curve last week, some yield curves reinverted again, the twos, tens, I think, got really close. So if we see bond yields continue to come down, but we see the curves invert again, we see energy come down, these things are going to tell the Fed, the message of the market is inflation isn't really the issue anymore. We're going into a recession, or we are in a recession. And so that's going to be more important than economic data, which is lagging. I mean, inflation data and also jobs data, those are, with respect to data, those are real lagging indicators. So the Fed is not going to wait for inflation to come down to 6, 5, or 4%. By the time that happens, they will already have been cutting rates for months and months and months. So I don't know if there's any particular data that matters. I would just say the data of the market. And if these inflation indicators, again, bond yields, oil, for example, because those have been the real drivers, if they continue to come down and soften over the weeks ahead, while at the same time you have various economic data points that point to recession, that's evidence that is going to, the market is going to start to discount less hiking by the Fed and more cutting. I shouldn't say more cutting, but they'll start to discount cutting sooner rather than later. I think that the rate cutting is, it was discounted for around the middle of next year, maybe a week or two ago, it was a little bit before, and now, you know, the policy got tighter. And so maybe now the cutting is priced in for in the second half of next year. So that those will be the things that we'll have to look at over the coming weeks. And so that's what you'll start to see. You'll see the markets discounting, cutting. You know, if data gets worse and bond yields and oil continue to weaken over the next couple of weeks, then you'll start to see cuts being discounted in the first half of next year and, you know, less hiking over the next couple of meetings. So those are the things that I would watch.
All right. Well, expectations for what the Fed does. Boy, oh boy, we see those wildly swing from week to week. And right now, a lot of people are a bit more on board with the Fed rate hikes after that 75 basis point hike. But again, the Fed's only going to be able to go for so long. And then the question is, how do they reverse course, or do they truly reverse course, and what their neutral rate is? We'll see, because we still have a few more months and a few more rate hikes to get through. But the market is starting to tell us, or at least some of the commodities are starting to tell us again, that we could be in for lower inflation and closing in on that recession, or at least general economic slowdown. What about the U.S. equity markets? Those continue to be under pressure. You look at the chart just for this year, and there's no denying that this market is under pressure. It's been a stair-stepping pattern down, almost perfect, technically, I think, in terms of a little pop here, not getting up high enough, as high as the last peak, and then back lower. The market has sold off a fair bit in the last couple of weeks, though, so are we in for another rally, whether it's a bear market rally or a dead cat bounce?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that earlier this week, Monday below 36.50, I think there's a good chance that that could be the low. Maybe we might get a retest over the next couple of days. But if you look at, breadth indicators, sentiment indicators, and then also you look at the 40-month moving average, pull up a monthly chart of the S&P over the last 50 years. Just look at the 40-month moving average. That's been an incredibly important line. Usually in a secular bull market, you rebound from the 40-month moving average. However, when we look at the beginnings of secular bear markets, you know, that first cyclical bear market, it usually went below the 40-month moving average. And so that comes in, I mean, around, I don't know, 36.20 or 36.40, somewhere around there. But we basically tested that earlier this week. So we're testing this really important support historically, in addition to the market being really, really oversold. If we look at here's one breadth indicator for you, the percentage of S&P stocks trading above the 50-day moving average. A couple days ago, that was at 2%. So that's one of the lowest readings of the last 10 years. So we're basically at levels from which the market is going to rally. And I mean, there's a small possibility that this could be the end of the bear market and the ultimate low for the stock market. Now, I don't think so. I would strongly disagree with that, but that's how oversold we are. That statement has a little bit of chance of happening. You know, I think the odds favor a decent bear market rally here over the next month or two, you know, because of those reasons. And the other thing, Corey, when we look at the worst six or seven bear markets dating back to 1929, the majority of these, like, they rally back to the 200-day moving average, or either a little bit above, or they get close to it before they have a big leg down. So the S&P is at 44, the 200 days at 44.13. I mean, that's starting to come down. You know, in a month or two, that could be at 4,300 or in the high 42s. It wouldn't be out of the ordinary for the S&P to have a pretty good bounce here and get back to, you know, 4,100, 4,200. I mean, a month ago it was trading around 4,150. So I think there's high risk here of a bear market rally this summer. And so I would not want to be short right now because of that risk. But, you know, nevertheless, Corey, I think over the next couple months, you know, the economy will get weaker, the economic data will probably be worse. And if that is the case, and there's more downside in the economy, that means, you know, corporate profits are going to be worse. and you know, people are not going to spend as much. So what I'm getting at is a good rally here does not change the fact that this could be a bear market that's ultimately going to go lower later this year. But if you study bear markets, and even the worst bear markets, they never go in a straight line. I mean, there's big rallies. And so we're definitely setting up for a potential, you know, big bear market rally here.
Hey, a rally up to 4,200, that's over 11% higher. So that would be a nice rally. And one thing to remember is that a lot of bad data has actually been a buying event for the markets as, again, back to Fed expectations, people start expecting the Fed to pull back on their tightening much quicker. So that could all line up very nicely. Jordan, final point, what does this all mean for precious metals that, in all fairness, gold has been quite boring? The gold stocks, they've continued to be under pressure, but gold has done its job in this volatile time by mostly staying flat. I know gold bugs don't want to hear that that's good for gold, but in this environment, it very much has been. How does this all play into gold then?
Yeah, I think the short term is interesting because you get this bear market rally. You know, gold is not going to break out or move up that much in that kind of environment. But the miners have been more correlated to the stock market. So you could get some kind of a bounce here in the mining stocks. But I think moving further out, Corey, I mean, if you have another leg lower in the bear market, the Fed is definitely going to have to cut rates. And, you know, I just studied when I studied some of the worst bear markets and when gold or gold stocks pre-1971 detached and bottomed and started to go up. And it was basically around the time when the Fed started cutting rates. So basically, when the Fed shifts course, they're going to cut rates. And the reason they're going to do that, Corey, is because, I mean, there's a tug of war between, you know, inflation and recession. And so when we reach a point where growth and recession becomes a bigger concern, and they know that inflation has peaked and is coming down, they're going to stop hiking because they have to cut. So I could see July being the last hike, you know, and then actually cutting in September, you know, or maybe September's the last hike and then they cut in November. But precious metals are setting up really, really well. I mean, number one, the stocks are really, really oversold here. So I don't see that much downside potential. And, you know, once we get past the summer, I think we're going to be really, really close to the Fed shifting course and cutting rates. And that's going to be a huge boon for precious metals. I mean, if they cut rates in September, November, you're going to see gold retesting its all-time high before the end of the year. So, I mean, this is a time where, you know, the stocks have been really weak. The juniors have been even more weak. You know, gold has just been sitting there. But things are really setting up for gold to have a huge run at the end of summer and into year end. And so I would just be a little patient, you know, pick your spots. And, you know, these are the times when huge gains and 10 baggers are made, where things don't necessarily look that great for this month or next month. But I really like how the macro is setting up here. And you really want to be focused on this sector. You don't want to be focused on, you know, copper, energy, even uranium, you know, because I know that a lot of gold bugs, they own a lot of these other commodities. But this is setting up for the time where you really want to be heavy into precious metals and not the other commodities. I mean, there will be a time to get back into those, but those are more economically sensitive. You know, in the first question, I talked about the cycle, and gold always leads and then silver is next. And that's what we're setting up for. I mean, that's the area you want to be into to a heavy degree over the next couple months. You want to get positioned for what's coming. And we all know that it's coming. The recession is coming, and the Fed is going to have to shift and cut rates.
All right. So yeah, it still might be a couple months for you to get positioned. Who knows where we're going to go in these next couple months, as the Fed probably will keep on cutting rates. But again, looking to some of these other commodities, I think very interesting, especially copper. As bullish as everyone was on copper, bigger picture is saying that, yeah, the economy is struggling and copper then struggles as well. Jordan, thank you as always for your time, buddy. Very interesting discussion. We'll chat again next week. Hope you have a great rest of your week.